Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today is May 20th, 2017, and we're here live at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been talking to you about ANC Firearms. He's one of our sponsors here for the program. This show could not happen without people like Arch Koontz at ANC Firearms. We want to thank him, and we want to show him some support. Y'all need to come on out and say hi, say hello to the crew, say hello to Arch, Dennis, Clint, Mike. Take a look at all the guns, knives, ammo, accessories, the whole works here in Heidenhammer. I'm stepping on the old bank floors as they creak, and I hit the walls, and I can see the plaster crack. It's just a perfect little building of old times made modern with all these great guns. So come on out here to Heidenhammer, ANC Firearms, say hi to us, say hi to the crew. Now, ladies and gentlemen, like every show we do here, this is going to be no exception. We got a lot of things going on. But I want you to know, before I start my day, I always go to CEFCO and get my premium extra large coffee. Now, I'm from Cameron, so I always usually go to the Hilltop there in Cameron. Go to Hilltop CEFCO in Cameron. Get your coffee, newspaper packs, smokes, bag of chips, whatever it is. They've got a major special on. They got monster drinks, $3 for $5. So go on out there and check it out. I want to thank all the ladies over there at Hilltop, CEFCO, for all they do. So moving on here, we've got a really information-packed show. We're going to start off today with more true stories of self-defense from the Concealed Carry magazine. And today there's going to be 11 short stories. And after each one, I'm going to give you my bullet analysis or commentary. And we can learn lots from these true stories. Now, if you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, we're streaming live here. You get to see my ugly face all over the world. Okay, so check it out. And you can see all the guns behind me here. Next, we're going to be doing the CHL, the license to carry segment. That's concealed handgun or license to carry, basically the same thing. I'm going to read to you Penal Code 9.32, deadly force in defense of person. And set the stage for after the first commercial break to have our attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson break it all down and give us clarification on terms and definitions so we'll be able to be more prepared when and if necessary to defend ourselves. So that's going to be a very, very good segment like it always is. I get lots of comments on this segment. I get lots of comments on Voice of Law Enforcement. Everything's positive, so everything's going great. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, check it out. We're streaming live. After that, I will let everybody know what's coming up class-wise and other special events that Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures is involved with. Now, we're not idle at Aaron's. Always got something going on, so check it out on the website. We'll have it listed there, too. At 11 a.m., as always, we will have our very own voice of law enforcement, Officer Randy Dixon, the caretaker of common sense, the informant of intelligentsia, and an all-around good guy, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. Now, today's product spotlight is total gun porn. You will salivate, drool, get flushed in the face when I talk to you about this sexy, sleek, and specialized shotgun, the Mossberg 590 Shockwave. If you have any idea at all what this is and you want one, you better call now because these guns are allocated and it's going to be hard to get for a while. So reserve yours now. Call ANC Firearms. We're doing the show live here at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Call them 254-983-4417. Tell them you just heard it. I'm telling you, if you want one of these things, look it up on the internet what a Shockwave is, a Mossberg Shockwave. Totally legal. Totally cool. Give ANC Firearms a call. 254-983-4417 and they'll reserve one for you. Now, today's interview will be with basically whoever I can grab behind the counter. There's too much going on, so we're just going to go back and forth when it comes to the interview section at about 11:30, and we're just going to see what's happening, and we'll play it by ear. Maybe I'll do some WTF moments. I've got a bunch of those in store for whenever we have some downtime, but it's going to be pretty good. So, without further delay, I'm going to try and stay on time here. Guys, how you doing? I got Mark here, Mark Boris, Zoltan Varga, my weapons instructors. We're having a great time, so come on out and check these guys out.
Have you done anything with the shotguns yet?
Not yet, sir. What we will, when we do, I'm bringing you on.
I got to see the shotgun,
man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about true stories from the Concealed Carry magazine. This one's coming from 2017, and this is the February-March issue. I'm going to read these and then give you bullet analysis. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, and look at my ugly face as I read this stuff, okay? Spread the word, like us on Facebook. Story number one. A 19-year-old Pasco, Washington man was in his shower when he heard sounds of someone kicking in the front door. Going to investigate, he found an intruder in his home. Fearing for his life, he fired on the burglar, wounding him, then held him at gunpoint for responding police and medical personnel. The burglar suffered non-fatal chest wound. Police are investigating the incident as self-defense. And my commentary is this. Since the homeowner did not have time or did not have to go retrieve a shower, and if that is the case, it must have been a Glock. Heck, I've seen Glocks shoot underwater. So call ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417, and get your shower Glock today. Story number two. Three plantation men were approached by two strangers who engaged them in conversation. Suddenly, one of the strangers drew a gun and announced a robbery. One of the three would-be victims promptly drew his legally carried pistol and fired on the armed robber, killing him and putting the others to flight. None of the victims were injured. Responding police noted that the defending concealed carry weapon holder acted legally and appropriate. And my commentary to that, I'll bet you the next day the other two victims signed up for a concealed carry permit. Get yours now before you become a victim. Give me a call. Sign up for one of my classes. I got some great deals going on too. I've got a class June 10th, $60 for a new person. If you come in groups of five or more, it's $30 a person. So if you sign up a group and only four show up, guess what? It's $60 a person. I need five people in a group. It becomes $30 a person for a class. That's an awesome price. All right, story number three. Three men, one armed, accosted a Charlotte Pizza Hut employee about 1:30 a.m. on Sunday. They broke into his store and demanded money. Fortunately, the store employee was legally armed. Faced with a deadly threat, the employee drew his gun, his pistol, and fired on the armed robber, mortally wounding him and putting the two other robbers to flight. Authorities will review the case, but it appears charges against the defending employee are unlikely. Pizza Hut placed the employee on leave of absence and had no further comment. Well, here's my comment on story number three. I'll bet you a Domino's pizza that Pizza Hut had no gun policies, and that's why they're hush-hush about it. I'll say this again to all you employees who are more worried about your insurance coverage than allowing your people to protect themselves. Stick the insurance policy up your corporate butts. Story number four. An Atlanta grandmother heard strange noises inside her home as she prepared for an afternoon nap. Taking up a gun before investigating, she found two men in her house in the process of stealing tools and furs from her. One look at the determined and armed grandmother was enough to put the duo to flight without further incident. Police later apprehended the burglars and their female getaway driver. My commentary. An old lady with a gun. She's got nothing to lose, and that's scary. Story number five. An Aiken County man was pumping gas early one morning when an armed stranger accosted him and demanded money. During the incident, the assailant tried to force the victim into the victim's own car in an apparent kidnapping attempt. This gave the victim the chance to get to a gun he kept in the vehicle, which he drew and fired at the kidnapper, killing him. Investigating police called it a classic case of self-defense. Hey, guys, Mark and Zoli, I just read a story about a guy who goes back to his car, takes out his gun to defend himself. And didn't we talk about that 2 weeks ago, placement of a weapon in a vehicle?
Yes, we did.
That comes into play, guys. My commentary on that one. Once again, gun placement is key. Make sure your guns are easily and quickly accessible. Story number six. An 81-year-old Uniontown man woke up about 1:30 a.m. to find a masked man standing over him. Fearing for his life and that of his elderly sister who lived in the house with him, the resident tussled with the intruder until he was able to get a .22 caliber pistol he kept on the nightstand. After he was armed, the man fired a single mortal shot to the home invader, ending the attack. Investigating police are treating the shooting as a self-defense and do not expect charges against the homeowner. You think? Okay, my commentary on that. This old man didn't let his age stop his natural instinct to defend himself and his family, and we all need to be like him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're streaming live here, ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page. You get to see me, and everybody else will be coming on the show and see what we look like, and you can throw darts. Take a picture, print it out, and throw darts at us. Story number seven. Intruder shot killed during Florida home invasion. Homeowners returning from a family trip discovered an intruder in their southwest Florida house. After the 30-year-old intruder ran into the bedroom and grabbed a bat, one of the homeowners shot him, officials said. The intruder, who had an extensive criminal history and had recently been released from prison, died from his wounds. The homeowner acted in self-defense and is not likely to face charges, according to officials. My commentary. I say the homeowner hit this one out of the park. Get it? Baseball bat, hit, park. Okay, bad joke. Story number 8. Seeing a man break into a parked car one afternoon, a Newton man drew his legally carried pistol, stopped the crime, called police, and held the criminal at gunpoint until authorities arrived. The armed citizen complied with the police commands regarding his firearm when they arrived, and he was not detained, but the burglar was arrested. My commentary, protection of the third person's property. Once police arrived, he complied with officers' directions, and that's very good. That's what you should do. When the police come, abide by the rules and orders, and they'll take charge. All right, story number 9. Alerted to someone slashing the tires of his boat carrier, a Centennial resident went to investigate. He was confronted by a knife-wielding man who rushed at him. The homeowner retreated into his house, picked up a pistol, and called police to report the incident. When the vandal attempted to break into his home, the homeowner fired through the door, whereupon the vandal turned home invader returned fire. The homeowner was not hit, but the intruder was not so lucky, as responding police determined he had suffered a non-serious wound from a round fired by the homeowner. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think it was last week. It was either last week or the week before. We were talking about Penal Code 931 and how we were talking to Attorney Benton Ross Watson and shooting through a door. Are you able to do that or not? And we had a nice little discussion on it. And this story is just another illustration of how it can happen. But, you know, fortunately, they're not going to bring up any charges against him. So it's one of those iffy situations, shooting through a door when somebody's on the other side of the door as compared to being actually in your house. Okay, story number 11. I'm sorry, story number 10. A Rigby man and his teenage son survived a gunfight with a pistol-wielding man who broke into their home early one morning. Alerted by strange sounds in the home, the two family members went to investigate and encountered a strange man in the bedroom, who opened fire on them and immediately with a handgun. The teenager retrieved a shotgun and fired one round at the intruder, seriously wounding him in the stomach and ending the fight. All right, my commentary on that. Stop investigating without retrieving a gun first. Get the gun first, then investigate. And finally, story number 11. After pulling into their driveway, a Lubbock couple was approached by an armed and masked man who accosted them and demanded money. While the robber was engaged with the driver husband, the wife retrieved a pistol kept in the vehicle and surreptitiously handed it to her husband, who fired several shots at the robber, wounding him in the leg and driving him off. Responding police apprehended the subject nearby. Now that is a cool story, and my commentary is this. Yeehaw, ladies and gentlemen, that puts new meaning to the Texas two-step. Way to go, Mama. That was awesome. The wife squared away her husband, slid it under, without that guy knowing it, and she enabled the husband to take care of the bad guy. So there you go. Real stories, 11 of them in my commentary. And that came from the Concealed Handgun Magazine, and that was 2017, the February-March issue. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm running a little late, so we're going to go right into our CHL license to carry section. And we're going to be talking about Penal Code 932. Now, I'm waiting for Benton Ross Watson, Attorney Benton Ross Watson, to get here. He's running a little bit late, so I'm going to read through this. We'll do our commercial break, and hopefully he'll be here by that time, and if not, we'll just do something else until he gets here. But Texas Penal Code 9.32, deadly force in defense of person. If you've got a license to carry or a concealed handgun license, basically the same thing, you need to know your penal code. You signed off on knowing that you know penal codes. So if you do something wrong, they say, well, they said, you signed this affidavit, you signed this, or got this thing notarized that you know these penal codes, and if you're going to do something outside of what you said you know, you're going to get in trouble. So you need to know your penal codes. Now, after reading Penal Code 931 the last couple of weeks, and now reading Penal Code 932, it may cause some confusion due to some common terminology in both penal codes. So I'm going to read to you Penal Code 9.32, I'll read it to you now, and get us all set up, hopefully, when Ross gets here after the break, and we'll go over it. But we're reading Penal Code 9.31 for the last 2 weeks. This is Penal Code 932. And between the two, there's, like I said, some terminology that can become confusing, and hopefully Ross can square it away. So here it is, Penal Code 9.32, deadly force in defense of person. A person is justified in using deadly force against another, one, if he would be justified in using force against the other in section 9.31. That's what I was talking to you about the last 2 weeks. Two, when and to the degree he reasonably believes the deadly force is immediately necessary, A, to protect himself against the other's use of attempted use or unlawful deadly force, or B, to prevent the other's imminent commission of aggravated kidnapping, murder, sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, robbery, or aggravated robbery. The actor's belief under subsection A2 that the deadly force was immediately necessary as described by that subsection or subdivision is presumed to be reasonable if the actor, one, knew or had reason to believe that the person against whom the force or deadly force was used unlawfully and with force entered or attempted to enter the actor's home, vehicle, or place of business or employment, unlawfully and with force removed or attempted to remove the actor from the home, vehicle, or place of business or employment, or was committing or attempting to commit aggravated kidnapping, murder, sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, robbery, or aggravated robbery. Two, did not provoke the person against whom the force or deadly force was used. And three, was not otherwise engaged in criminal activity at the time the force or deadly force was used. The summary of this is, the actor who has a right to be present at the location where the force or deadly force is used, who has not provoked the person against whom the force is used, and who is not engaged in criminal activity at the time, is not required to retreat before using force or deadly force. Now, you just heard that, force or deadly force. Penal Code 931 was talking about force. Penal Code 932 is talking deadly force. But 9.31 has got both terms in it, deadly force and force, and now Penal Code 932 has both terms in it, force and deadly force. So it's like, well, if you say both in both of them, why do you need both penal codes? So hopefully, if Ross gets here in time, we're going to talk about it on the other side of the break. So what we're going to do now is this. Trey, you're listening. We're going to take a long break. Hopefully, in the meantime, Attorney Benton Ross Watson will be here, and we can go over this in the segment coming up after the break. So ladies and gentlemen, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Check out the live stream. We're here live at we're here live at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Come on out here. Check out all the guns, weapons, accessories, all that kind of stuff. Check out the crew. Say hi to me. Give us a call here at 254-983-4417 if you want to order one of those Mossberg Shockwaves. They are hard to get at the moment, but you can get one reserved, and we'll get one in for you. So anyway, Trey, let's take a break, and we'll see you on the other side.
Attorney Benton Ross Watson is not here at the moment. He's on his way. Should be here in the meantime. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you one of my WTF moments. What the F moments. This is disgusting, to be honest with you. It's headlined, Rape Legalization Gains Ground Amid Migrant Influx in Europe. Western Europe on path to legalize rape committed by migrants. Migrants. I got to make sure I pronounce my words right. France, Sweden, Germany, and other European nations are on a path to legalize rape committed by migrants because of their culture. It's their culture. As shocking as this might seem, a recent number of rapists who avoided severe punishment suggest there's a precedent already in place to decriminalize rapes by migrants because they don't culturally understand Western rape laws or even the word no. In short, rapes by migrants are downplayed as cultural misunderstandings. Yeah, tell that to the woman you raped. And thus the victims never receive justice, meaning that the de facto rape legislation is, for the most part, already in place. For example, a German judge recently acquitted a Turkish drug dealer of rape despite believing every word of the 23-year-old victim's accusations because, according to the judge, what the victim had experienced as rape, including having her head shoved between two bedposts after she said no, might be culturally considered wild sex in Turkey. The prosecutor admitted that the acquittal must have been a heavy blow to the victim, reported whoever this person is, translated from German. On the other hand, a conviction was not possible because there was no demonstrated intent of rape. Even more, the Turkish man claimed that because he wouldn't have committed a rape because he had a mother and a sister. You with me so far on this one? The leftist narrative has indoctrinated German natives so strongly that their inclusive multicultural respect and bureaucratic conformism is even able to warp what is beyond doubt rape into an offensive cultural question, a question both of legal authority and the sexual assaulted woman answered yes to, remarked Damian Black with Return of the Kings. Nothing was hidden, nothing concealed, all evidence was confirmed and understood, only to be disregarded as an ethnic misunderstanding. This isn't just limited to Germany, however. As I reported in April, a Muslim in Sweden avoided jail for anally raping a teenager because he couldn't understand no, according to somebody from Western Sweden. The court sided with the migrant even further by suggesting the girl's repeated no only pertained to forced sex, and which the judges somehow did not consider rape. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a WTF moment with capital letters, bold-faced and italicized and underlined, okay? It's just amazing how things have come to be in this world. Now, I'm still waiting on Ross, and I've got another WTF moment that I want to read to you here. And the reason, I show this one in class a lot, it's like, get involved. Get involved in your neighborhood. Get involved on the street. Just don't stand there and watch things happen. I've got an article here. I'm going to show it to you on the screen. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. You'll be seeing what I've got laminated here. It's video shows bystanders ignoring a hit-and-run victim. A 78-year-old man is tossed like a rag doll by a hit-and-run driver and lies motionless on a busy city street as car after car goes by. Pedestrians gawk, but appear to do nothing. One driver stops briefly, but then pulls back into traffic. A man on a scooter slowly circles the victim before zipping away. The chilling scene, captured on video by streetlight surveillance camera, has touched off a round of soul-searching in Hartford, with the capital city's biggest newspaper blaring out so inhumane on the front page, and the police chief lamenting we no longer have a moral compass. Ladies and gentlemen, if you see something like that, just don't go. For example, it's like a piece of litter on the ground. Well, you know, somebody else will pick it up. Or somebody on the side of the road. Somebody else will stop for them. Sometimes I understand you're busy and you can't do it, because I am too. And you can't just stop for every person that's got a problem. But, you know, if time permits and you're able, it's nice. It's a nice gesture to help people in need. So get involved with whatever the situation is to the best of your ability, even if it's calling 911. If you can't get involved physically, call somebody up, try to get some help. Okay, I've got another one here. Two charged with endangering a child. A four-year-old boy was curled up in the fetal position in a bed, crying and only wearing his underwear. The bed had no sheets, no blanket, and no pillow. The windows were covered with dark sheets to keep out the light, and the bedroom door was locked. Nothing else was in the room except for the boy and the bed when a police officer went to the home. The police department received a call from a concerned person who thought someone needed to be checking on this child. The person was worried that the boy was being abused, and sure enough, he was. How can anybody do that to a child? That's crazy.
And one of those donuts with nuts on it?
All right. I got so many of these, it's unbelievable.
Donuts with nuts. A pen.
Oh, here's one. This is interesting. Lightning splits church steeple. A lightning strike split the steeple of a church during a storm right here in the area. The Baptist church also had other damage from the strike, which burned a hole in the roof. The heavy rain that came with the storms probably kept the church from burning. Yeah. What does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? You get a church getting struck by lightning, it kind of freaks you out, doesn't it? Kind of makes you wonder. I think I'm seeing Ross coming in here, and if that's the case, because he's... Yeah, that's him, all right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do... Hey, Trey, let's go for a long break. Let's give attorney Benton Ross Watson some time to get in here, and when we come back, we're going to go over in depth on Penal Code 9.32, deadly force in defense of persons. So we'll see you on the other side. That's right, everybody. We're back here. Today is May 20th, 2017. We're here live at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. And if you go to my Facebook page, and we're streaming live, and we finally got him here. Here he is. Say hi, Ross.
Woo! Yeah, I finally made it. I don't know how I got through Rogers without a ticket, but I got through there. So
you were going too fast. They couldn't catch you, man.
Some logistical miscommunication here today, but we're
don't worry. We're professionals. We can handle it. But we got a lot going on. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here live at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. You need to come on out and say hi to the crew. At 12 o'clock, I've got a free handgun familiarization class. It's a shortened version of what I do. So if you've got a gun that you don't know what you're doing with, if you want to get a gun and you haven't a clue what to do, don't know which one to pick, now's the time to come out and see us. Lots of guns to pick from. I can show you. I've got these cards that tell you what to pick and how to pick it. And just come on out here. So we're going to be here live until 12 o'clock. Come and say hello to everybody. And after that is that free class. Now, Ross. For the last 2 weeks, we were talking about Penal Code 931, self-defense.
I know that.
But in it, there's terminology that says deadly force. Then I read Penal Code 932, and it's talking about deadly force, but then it says if you use force or deadly force. And I understand why they do that in this penal code, but why do they even bring up the terminology of deadly force in a penal code that is meant for force?
The answer to this question is really simple. It's very quick. The
You're making it look stupid.
No, no, no. The deadly force statute, you've got to have 931 as a prerequisite.
Yes.
So it references 931. And so the 931 statute is simply saying, because if somebody's going to have to use deadly force, then 931 is going to have to apply as well. So it's good that 931 uses it. But it can also cause some confusion. I see there's the same problem, if you want to call it a problem, with 941 and 942, which is the defense of property.
Right.
And it's simply, the answer is they reference each other. They work off of each other. You have to have one before you have the other.
I understand that. I can see like 3-2 feeding off a 3-1 because it's building up. But it just seemed like it was causing confusion. Well, can I use deadly force? But until I'm in 931, can I use deadly force when it uses the terminology? But in reality, it's just for force. So it just causes confusion.
Well, 931 is making clear. No, 931 applies in a deadly force type of situation too, because you have to meet the standards of 931 before you ever get to 932. And so I think 931 is clarifying that by including deadly force. The legislature just doesn't want there to be a situation in a court where they say, well, you know, 931 doesn't mention deadly force at all, so why would we, if there was ever a conflict, okay, even though 932 says that 931 is a prerequisite, you know, if 931 didn't, you know, reference deadly force and there was something in there you wanted to use to argue to the jury or, you know, from the state or the defense side, right, you know, the other might be able to make some argument, well, the legislature didn't mean for 931 to apply in a deadly force type situation.
So deadly force terminology in 931 is like armor all the tires or icing on the cake. It's just getting you set up for 932 as it comes
exactly,
to
exactly, exactly.
Okay. You got stories to back that up?
No, I mean, that is the most logical. I mean, okay, so 941, 942, Lebo versus State. A bull had crossed over and gotten on Mary's bull had crossed over and gotten on Mr. McNeil's property. And Mary wants to go get her bull back. And she said, well, I'm just going to go get it. And McNeil says, well, you know, you left the bull out there now 3 months. I think you're going to have to present me evidence that of which bull is yours and which bulls are mine.
I think that's bull.
And, yeah, he was being kind of a, you know, a prig maybe. And so she does. She goes and gets some like a 70-something-year-old guy, and they go out there, and this guy named Luntzman is the older man, gentleman, and he supposedly was purchasing bulls and working the bulls, and so she gets him to go out there and point out the bull, and that's what he does, and he starts opening the gate and going in there to get the bull. Well, McNeil comes out, and I think the case is a flying tackle. He makes a flying tackle of Mr. Luntzman, and ends up basically knocking one of his teeth out when he hit him from the impact. And then the old man ends up kind of have to have shoulder surgery. And it goes to trial, and it was presumed. And I actually wanted to talk about, because I listened to, you know, last week's show with Rick, and a caller, Mr. Johnson, called in and talked about, what if a guy's in my yard? A police officer should not have ever told him that he can just blow his leg off with a shotgun. And I don't know what officer that was, but that was definitely not a very responsible thing to tell anyone to do. I want to point that out. I'm glad he didn't say who the officer was. I don't care. That's not. Don't ever listen to an officer if they're telling you to actually blow somebody's leg off. Okay. So, but this is sort of similar, because we were in a situation where he was saying, well, I won't, you know, because this Mr. Johnson was saying, I won't kill him, I'm just going to blow his leg off. We said, if you have serious bodily injury, it's going to be presumed that you use deadly force. And that's exactly what Lebo versus State said. Okay, it said, an individual who causes serious bodily injury necessarily, words mean things, necessarily uses deadly force. And so they were saying that he used deadly force against this Mr. Luntzman. And so he had to go under the 942, and he was trying to argue 941, And he's saying, you made the jury assume there was serious bodily injury because you went under 942 when it was a real question whether this old man was really hurt. To, other than, it's okay, bodily injury was one thing, serious bodily injury was another. Okay, and he was saying he may have been injured, okay, but I get to use a different set of standards under 941 for defense of property as opposed to 942. So by submitting 942, you made the jury think this old man had serious bodily injury.
You know, you said something just a second ago, and I say this all the time, that words mean things, punctuation means things. You know what I've learned from you and Rick? Words and punctuation don't mean squat. It depends on the attitude of the jury, the judge, what the judge wants to show. It's just like, that's why I think this segment is so good, is because you try to teach law in black and white and say this word means this and the comma means this, it's a whole new thought, but in reality it doesn't, and you show it over and over and over again in these cases.
Well, it means something to whoever's making the argument they need to make.
But it needs to mean everything to me if I'm the one at court trying to get out of something. You know what I mean?
It's like the Alice in Wonderland, the egg, the Humpty, the when he's talking about, you know, words or what I think they mean. Words or whatever I say they mean. And Allison basically, like, so...
Sounds like it's coming out of a 1984 novel.
Yeah, I mean, it's Allison Wonderland. I wish I could remember the quote, but yeah, that's what we come from. But, oh, I was going to say about Mr. Johnson. So, again, either one of these situations, so if you're going to use a gun, right, we've already said that the definition of a deadly weapon is a gun, firearm. They define it as a firearm or something else that is... in its manner of use can cause, you know, death or serious bodily injury. And so if you're using a gun, it's going to be seen that you use deadly force. The other thing is, if you cause serious bodily injury, which is protracted, you know, injury to a bodily member, which is your leg, if you blow his leg off, that's serious bodily injury. So in either situation, you're going to be presumed to have...
In the cabin, the girls want to see.
You're going to have to be presumed to have used deadly force and a deadly weapon at that. And so there's going to be a problem because we've talked about, man, firearms are hot. We've talked about when you're presumed that you'll be able to use deadly force. And, you know, if they're using force illegally to enter or remove you from your property, that's your home, it would be hot. It's a home, office, or your car, your transportation. Okay, and then there's got to be aggravated kidnapping. Okay, so we're going under arms. Okay, there's got to be robbery, murder, or some kind of sexual offense. Okay, and if you don't get one of those, you don't get the presumption. So right now you're telling me that he's showing up at your yard in daytime and you're just talking a bunch of mess to each other. You don't like each other, yelling. So you're going to have to go under defense of property. Well, is deadly force necessary to, you know, keep him from trespassing? Right, you're not going to win that case. Right, do not blow his leg off if he comes talking mess. Now the property codes, I wish we would talk about defensive property more, because it allows more, it's a little bit more broad in being able to use deadly force. Of course, you've got to get more, there's more subsections that you have to qualify under, but you could actually use deadly force in certain situations, which is why the defendant in that Lebo case was having such a hard problem, because he didn't fall under any of the presumptions. And so it was nighttime theft or nighttime criminal mischief. So if he shows up at your yard and he's talking a bunch of mess and maybe you feel like he's going to commit theft at nighttime or he's going to commit some criminal mischief at the nighttime in your front yard, I think then you are at least in a better situation to blow his leg off. Okay, but I would never advocate that.
Terminology, my gosh. Let me read you a story here. And tell me what you think about this. I just read it as one of these fast, true.
Oh, how about the case you just read about woman giving her husband the gun? Oh, that was great.
That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's teamwork right there. Lady helping her out her man. But let me read this story about this guy blowing somebody through the door.
Oh, I heard that case. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, here it is. Alerted to someone slashing the tires of his boat carrier, a Centennial resident went to investigate.
Oh, really?
He was confronted by a knife-wielding man who rushed at him. The homeowner retreated into his home, picked up the pistol, and called police to report the incident. When the vandal attempted to break into his home, the homeowner fired through the door. Whereupon the vandal returned home. He returned fire through the door. Okay, so here you got the guy.
No problem in that case. No problem in that case. He already had a knife out.
He was slashing the tires, right?
He already had this knife out.
So the guy, the homeowner, runs into his house. The door is shut.
If it's at nighttime, he's already causing criminal mischief. But if he runs in, and the guy's trying to get in the door, there's no issue there with me. Even if they're mildly unreasonable, district attorney is ever going to charge you with that case. The code says if they're attempting to enter, right? If they're attempting to enter your home.
There you go. Especially under those conditions, you're good to go.
I think, but now, you know, you may have a problem if you end up shooting the wrong person.
Because you don't know what's on the other side of the door.
That's what we really get into, and it's going to be...
That's injury of an innocent third person.
Yeah, that's where we were really getting into the door thing. How do you... You're going to have a hard time explaining if you shoot your 12-year-old niece.
So what it boils down to, because we're getting close on time, what it boils down to is what you... There's... It may allow you to do certain things, but you always got to worry about the unknowns, and that is, where's the bullet going? What am I trying to say here? Even though you may think you're right, there's always room for error that you may not be thinking about. So just don't go into a situation thinking, well, it says it here in black and white. There's so many different aspects that can distort it and make it look bad for you, right?
I mean, that's the law, yeah. But I do want to clear.
I feel great now.
I do want to clear up. There was a gentleman too. We didn't get his name, and you had a lot of things to go through, and he called you during a time we didn't get to his question till late. It wasn't me either, but he had said again, can you use your license to carry his rifle? Again, I want to make clear. Yes, there's certain places you cannot carry your firearm, but you don't need your LTC, your license to carry, just to carry the rifle. So it is the license to carry is to carry your pistols.
Strictly for a handgun.
Yes. And I wanted to point out, some people have, we talked about devices, and I was asked, could a dog, a protection dog, ever be a dangerous device? I mean, you cannot use a device that has a reasonable likelihood of causing death or serious bodily injury.
Well, an attack dog, I would think, has got a reasonable case of causing death. Okay. So how did they get around
that? We said, I think under most circumstances, that's not going to be a device. But I was really asked, could the possibility arise? So we didn't really get into every scenario. And I've had a couple people kind of like, well, you didn't talk about this. I want to make sure everybody knows. That's what I said. Under most circumstances, you are allowed to have a protection dog, and actually the Health and Safety Code, Texas Health and Safety Code, Title 10, it talks about animals, and it's Chapter 822, Regulation of Animals. This...
Showing it in the camera. All right, now you got it.
So this section talks about when you're going to be in trouble if your protection dog hurts somebody, and you're going to see a lot in there, especially your... It even talks about the dog being justified if they attack, cause serious bodily injury or death to a person while they were committing theft or some kind of assaultive offense against another person. So even dogs, I kind of got goosebumps when I read that, because I did. I went through the whole thing and made sure that I didn't say anything that was stupid.
Wait a minute, say that again now.
So the dogs themselves get their own justification, right? They have their own justification defenses. And they get to avoid being put down, and the owner is off the hook when they're acting in defense of persons.
Wow.
Right? And so the code allows these dogs, right, to show their loyalty. And it was kind of a good moment there, I felt like, from the legislature standpoint. But there are some gaps, and so, yes, I still stick with what I was saying. It is possible that a dog could be a device, and you could be charged for that as well as something else under the Health and Safety Code. And then I was going to talk about, you had a story last week about when you were walking in New York and you opened your trench coat because you saw two guys approaching.
Two groups.
And you had showed your pistol sort of as a threat, as a justification threat. Right? And there was a new case that came out, Penning. He kind of had a fit of road rage, and him and another driver got into it. And he was probably in the wrong here. He was being a little bit unreasonable. And I think that's why he got charged in the first place. But he walks over to the other driver. And this part, you know, could be believable to some degree. The other guy's, like, reaching for something. Well, Penning kind of pulls his shirt tight and pulls it up just enough where you can see the bottom of the pistol with the holster. So tell that guy, and he says, if you do it, you're dead. And he ends up getting charged with that threatening display of a firearm under the 42-08, you know, disorderly conduct statute that we talked about a few weeks ago. And the reason I mentioned that case is because, you know, under the sections that don't, you know, on the license to carry, you can't, you're not supposed to just display your weapon, even when with a license to carry, a lot of times, even open carry in some places, even if it's in a holster. Okay, and there's a couple of sections, and I don't have those on me, but there is a couple of sections when you can't show your pistol. And so this case said that displaying your firearm was more than merely showing that you are armed, and it's more than merely showing that you have a pistol in your holster. And so it doesn't make much sense. It doesn't...
Let me go through a scenario here. You're bringing this up here, and I'm saying a guy comes up to me, and I think he's going to cause harm, and I flash my gun, Penal Code 904, that guy did. And now he's getting in trouble for what reason?
So, like, for instance, if you were at a college campus, well, you may be able to have your concealed weapon, but you cannot display it. It says you cannot display it. You cannot, even if it's in a holster, as opposed to where you can open carry in some spots, you couldn't carry on a college campus.
So if something's going down, and I pull it out, and I was able to stop the threat from shooting mass people, but I displayed my gun, I'm in violation?
No, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying that you're already starting to get ambiguities. Because you have this one case under the disorderly conduct statute, and they went into this long spiel about what is and what is not displaying a weapon, and he's saying, I did not display my weapon because, like, by what you're saying, right, you know, I only pulled my shirt back like this. And he was saying he used a justifiable threat as force, and the court's saying, no, you didn't use a justifiable threat because you didn't even display your firearm.
Okay, so what you're doing is you're confirming what I've been saying, and that is, even though you read it in black and white, it doesn't mean squat, because it all depends on the personality of the jury, the attitude of the judge, so on and so forth. So you just got, knowing this, a person carrying a weapon, knowing this, saying, I got the right, but in reality, I don't know, they may think twice before they do something stupid.
Look, so he like you, showed his weapon, basically, but he didn't as fervently show it, I guess, there is...
I did it with class, too, man. I just whipped that. I said, come on.
And see, he more pulled his shirt tight and lifted it up just enough where you could see part of the gun in the holster to show him. And he said, don't you do it, or you're dead. And so that was a threatening display of a firearm under the disorderly conduct statute. Okay, so... But they talked about what is a display. And then so when you look at the display under the license to carry rules that don't... You know, it says whether it's holstered or not, you cannot display it in a place on this campus. So they said he wasn't entitled to a justification defense, right, for displaying a firearm because he didn't ever display it, right, when the license to carry clearly says, like, even if it's in a holster, it's being displayed if they can see the weapon. And so I'm just like, so now somebody, I guarantee you, if they're going to see this, and somebody's going to be charged with displaying a firearm on a college campus or something, that lawyer's going to pull that case, right, and say, that court said, you know, it's not displaying it, right? It's not displaying it when, you know, just because it's in your holster and you can see part of the weapon.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. They got a fan club going for you. All the girls got a fan club going. Everybody see Ross here? Ross, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, because what you're talking about, somebody sooner or later is going to have a case and they're going to need you, sharp as a tack, who've got all this stuff in their brains and know what to expect, and you can be there to defend them. Tell them how they can get a hold of you.
105 East Main and Cameron. They got a milk cow on the side of the building. It's a painting. come holler at me. My number is 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. You can also call my cell phone, 455-0569, 455-0569. Don't call me today because I'm going to the ZZ Top concert.
I was going to say, man, you look like you're a little bit under pressure wanting to get there.
No. And then Benton at Watson.legal. That's my name, Benton at Watson.legal. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for waiting.
That's no problem. Now, are you going to be able to stay? Because we've got the rest of the show going on until 12, and about 11:30, we've got... Who knows what's going to happen? When we talk guns and all that kind of stuff, we might put you back on the air. Can you hang out? Or do you got to go?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
All right, if you can.
Let me check it. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Trey. Let's take about a real short break, and when I come back, we'll go over show highlights. May 20th, 2017. Here we're live at the ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. You need to come on out and support these guys. They support us. That's what keeps the show on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, now's the time. Today is the day. Show your support. Come on out. Give them a call, 254-983-4417. Just in a little while, probably in about 30 minutes or so, I'll be doing the product spotlight for the Mossberg Shockwave, and it's an incredible gun. Go to my Facebook page, ErnsGunShop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Take a look at the picture there. And I've got a little longer version of it that I'll show everybody if you come on out here. It's almost identical. It gives you the idea, but the 14-inch barrel one is incredible. I'll be talking about that soon. Now, let me tell you what's going on here. June 3rd and 4th, we're going to be doing a live remote of this show in Taylor at the Real Gun Show. Owner Aubrey Sammers has a new location there in Taylor, and I forgot the name of the building. I'll have to post it on the website. But in Taylor, that's going to be on June 3rd and 4th. We'll be doing the show live there. And that'll be interesting, a whole new market. A lot of people there in Taylor, so it should be a good show. Go on out there, show up, show your support to Aubrey, and come out here and meet everybody on the show, okay? We have tons of guns, knives, accessories, ammo. I'll be there both days, Saturday and Sunday, but the show will be live Saturday from 10 to noon. Now, on June 9th will be our next round robin competition. And if you don't know what that is, ladies and gentlemen, you're missing out on a lot of fun, good training, and camaraderie. Many average shooters have become excellent shooters because of this competition. Now, to get a general idea of how it works, you can go to my Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel and watch the law enforcement benefit shoot. You get an idea of a few people going through it as to the rhythm and what you're supposed to be doing. The rules and the regs are located at the top of the homepage at ErnsGunShop.com. Just click on the link. And while you're there, like us on Facebook, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Lots of great videos there showing technique, products, and interviews. Now, on June 10th, Saturday at 2 p.m., I'll be doing my next license to carry class. It's $60 for new people and only $40 for those who already have a license and just want a refresher course. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important. It's not a bad idea at all. Everyone could use a refresher course. Trust me, y'all could use a refresher course. I've got to check and review and do things like that just to make sure I'm talking the right stuff. Now, I've posted a special offer, too. If you have a group of five or more, your course fee will only be $30 per person. Yep, that's 50% off for a group of five or more. Now, if you come with four, guess how much it is per person? It's $60. If you come with a group of five or more, it's $30. So you figure it out. Spread the word. Drag people off the streets. Share it on Facebook. Awesome facility, awesome instruction, awesome price. Come on out, give me a call here, email it, do whatever you got to do. So a lot of things going on. And once again, we're here live at ANC Firearms. You can check us out. We're streaming live here. You can look at my ugly mug on ErnsGunShop.com. Go to the Facebook page, check it out. Give us a call here at 983-254-983-4417. We'll be talking about the Shockwave later on, and very shortly, we're going to take a break in just a second. And on the other side, we're going to have the voice of law enforcement, Officer Randy Dixon. So I hope to see you out here today. And don't forget, after the show, I've got the free handgun familiarization class. No charge. If you're thinking about buying a gun, if you've got one, you have no clue, so on and so forth, come on out. We'll show you the ins and outs on how to basically familiarize yourself with your handgun. So welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is May 20th, 2017, and we're here live still at the ANC Firearms location in Hidehammer. We've got people coming in here buying guns and holsters and ammo. It's pretty neat. We'd like to meet y'all. Come on out here and give us support to the radio show and to our sponsor, ANC Firearms. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. Go to the website, ErnsGunShop.com. Check out the Facebook page and look at the picture of what I'm about to talk about, the product spotlight, the Mossberg 590 Shockwave. Now, you can order one of these at ANC Firearms. And if you go to the website's Facebook page, ErnsGunShop.com Facebook page, we're streaming live, and I'm going to show you what it kind of looks like here. This is my Maverick 88. It's almost identical to what I'm about to talk to you about, except the gun we're going to be talking about is a Mossberg 590 Shockwave. This is a Maverick 88. It's got the bird head grip, and it's got the six-round capacity. However, the Shockwave will be minus the barrel end. So you're looking at a gun that's about 26 and a half inches. Now, let me read to you from the American Rifleman, a review on this shotgun and how it is legal. Understand. Attorney Benton was, Attorney Ross Watson was here. Ross, you got too many names that sound like a first name. It's like, which one do I pick, man? Okay. But I'm going to read to you now. This is by Gil Horman and the Mossberg 590 Shockwave. Americans are fascinated with the exotic scatterguns of all shapes and sizes, especially those models just kept out of reach by strict federal regulations. We can enjoy watching them in action on the silver screen, but buying one is a financially prohibitive proposition. This year, Mossberg has found a way to offer their customers a pump gun with a 14-inch barrel that can be purchased without the need of a stack of National Firearm Act NFA paperwork. It's called the 590 Shockwave, and it's one handy little 12-gauge package. And it is, believe me. The legalities. While I was testing the Shockwave at the gun range, a few individuals came over to take a look at it. There were plenty of questions about how it was legal to have a 14-inch barrel 12-gauge in my possession. Now, I'm neither a lawyer nor a legal expert, but I'll do my best to give you the same information I shared with those folks at the range. This is Gil Horman speaking. This is very important. Now, listen up. Ross, you listening? Here we go. How firearms are transferred to consumers has to do with a complex set of legal definitions. Because what, Ross? Words mean things. Some of these definitions focus on a firearm's external dimensions and features. Simply stated, if the gun's feature set fits within a certain set of parameters, the federal government allows it to be sold over the counter at the local gun or sporting store when a qualified buyer fills out an AT form 4473 and passes a NICS background check. Other guns fall under the auspices of NFA. NFA regulated firearms include machine guns, short-barreled rifles, SBRs, and short-barreled shotguns, SBS. Taking legal possession of an NFA item involves the purchase of a special tax stamp, a healthy stack of ATF mandated paperwork, fingerprints, photographs, and a long waiting period of 6 months or more. Once you possess an NFA firearm, strict rules must be adhered to in regard to transportation, transfers, and storage. All in all, buying an NFA firearm is an expensive and time-consuming hassle. But which shotguns are considered short-barreled shotguns? According to the ATF website, an NFA regulated shotgun is, and here we go, listen up, one, a shotgun having a barrel or barrels of less than 18 inches in length. Two, a weapon made from a shotgun is such weapon as modified has an overall length of less than 26 inches or a barrel or barrels of less than 18 inches in length. This means a receiver fitted with a shoulder stock in an 18-inch or longer barrel when it's built at the factory is considered an ATF to be a shotgun. How does the Mossberg, then, the Mossberg 590 Shockwave with its 14-inch barrel, qualify as a non-NFA item? Here we go. Due to the manufacturing process used to build the gun, it doesn't fall under the preview of NFA regulations. Instead, the definitions that apply are found in the Gun Control Act of 1968. Under these regulations, the Shockwave is legally considered a firearm, not a shotgun. If, at the factory, a brand new receiver is fitted with a pistol grip first instead of a shoulder stock, it is considered a pistol grip only firearm. If the overall length of that firearm with the pistol grip or barrel installed is greater than 26 inches, then the barrel can legally be shorter than 18 inches. In the case of the 14-inch barrel Mossberg 590 Shockwave, the Raptor's bird head gives the gun an overall length of 26.32 inches. That makes it a firearm. Remember that this gun's legally defined firearm status is wholly dependent on its external dimensions and features. If you make modifications to the gun, including addition of a shoulder stock or reduction of its overall length to less than 26 inches, you're back in NFA territory. Once you own a Shockwave, don't monkey with it unless you completed the required NFA paperwork first. The Mossberg Shockwave is a variation of the company's 590 tactical shotgun intended for military and law enforcement applications. In fact, the Shockwave configuration is inspired by what's been informally known as the witness protection scattergun used by some agents in the field. Although the Shockwave's barrel and grip are shorter, the rest of the gun is compromised of reliable 590 standard components.
At the shooting range, the shockwave ran flawlessly. All the controls worked as intended, and all the test ammunition fed and fired without any malfunctions. The trigger exhibited a 6-pound, 9-ounce trigger pull with a distinctive trigger reset. Once the novelty wears off, what consumers will be left with is a rock-solid, utterly reliable 590 firearm with a military and law enforcement heritage that is readily apparent in its design. From a mechanical standpoint, this gun definitely has what it takes to go to work as a defensive tool if the owner is willing to do the work necessary to master it. Let me read to you the specifications. Manufacturer's Mossberg, models a 590 Shockwave. It's a pump-action 12-gauge. It's got a matte blue steel heavy-walled barrel. Receiver is hard anodized aluminum. Trigger guard, black polymer. Forend has a Shockwave Technologies Raptor strap kit. Ribbed black polymer. Grip is a Shockwave Technologies Raptor bird head. Smooth black polymer. Sights a brass bead. Barrel length 14-inch smooth bore. Choke cylinder bore. Overall length 26.32 inches. Trigger pull 6 pounds 9 ounces. Weight is 5 pounds 6 ounces unloaded. And the capacity was interesting. 3-inch shells, you get 4 plus 1. 4 in the mag, 1 in the chamber. 2 3/4 shells, 5 plus 1. And if you use the Aguila mini shells, you get 8 plus 1. The thing about the Aguila shells, because they're shorter, they have this part, and I didn't bring it with me here, but it inserts into where the shells eject, or the shells are fed into, and it fills up the gap so that the shortness of the cartridge of that mini shell will bounce off the back of this inserted piece, and it will function just flawlessly. So it is the Mossberg 590 Shockwave shotgun, not shotgun, firearm. See, terms mean things. And if you're looking at the Facebook page, we're live streaming here, this is what it looks like if you were to take off that part of the barrel. That is a handy-dandy little firearm for a home defense, protection, whatever you want to use it for, and you don't need any paperwork, and the price is right. I think the MSRP on it's like $455, so you probably can get it a little bit cheaper than that. The thing is, you got to call ANC Firearms at 983-4417. Tell them you want it so they can reserve one for you. It's going to take a little time for it to get in. They come in slowly at first, so you definitely want to get yourself on a list as to getting one. These are awesome. I can't recommend it enough. And what we're going to do, we're going to take another long break, and when we come back, I got Mark Boyer, Zoltan Varga. I've got Benton Ross Watson here. We're going to talk legalities. We're going to talk tactical training with it. We're going to talk a whole bunch of stuff in the course of the next 30 minutes. So, Trey, let's take a long break, and when we come back, we'll have a free-for-all talking about a whole bunch of different stuff. See you on the other side. Do we got him on his mic? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I've got Mark Boyer and Zoltan Varga here. These guys know what they're doing. They've been doing this for quite a long time. They've got lots of experience. And what I wanted to talk to you guys about, we had mentioned this before, about doing tactics in the house and how some people say, well, a shotgun's not the best thing. But then, Mark, you and I were just talking about this yesterday. Some people may not have anything but a shotgun. So let's talk when it comes to 18-inch shotguns with stocks, 18-inch shotguns with pistol grips, and then this new one, the 590 Shockwave, that's not a shotgun, it's categorized as a firearm. Yeah, everybody's going to say it looks like a shotgun, but in technicality's sake, Ross, it's a firearm. So talk to me, guys. Tell me the different things about how, as it gets shorter and shorter, the more you can do with these shotguns.
Well, before we go there, I want to also say that with our old 500 shotguns, we didn't have a protected barrel. This barrel has a heat shroud on it, so no matter how many rounds you blast, you're not going to burn yourself on this one. And it also has a beautiful
light rail.
A light rail at the front. Now, a lot of people don't need light rails or optic rails on a shotgun, but I think it's a nice option to have.
I'll tell you what, when that armadillo's trying to run away from me at 2 in the morning, I want to see him. So I pop that light on there, bam, he's done.
That's right. This is a great weapon. But also the ammunition for it is just universal. You can do anything in this weapon. I love it. But going through the house with a shotgun, you know, if it's the only thing you have, if it's daddy's hunting shotgun for goose or ducks or whatever, you know, you've got a long barrel, so you have to think smart about turning those corners and also over-penetrating into a room. With this one, you're not going to have a problem with that. I'm getting excited, so I'm rumbling my words.
If you were to measure an average-sized person from shoulder to shoulder, it's going to be anywhere from probably 21 to 24 inches wide, okay? This thing is 26.5 inches wide. That means you can literally cradle it in your arms and go through doors without having to worry about anything and still have total control and security on the weapon, which is a lot nicer than having extensions on either side with a shoulder stock or a longer barrel. So that comes into play too. But Zoli, what about, let me ask you something. I may be putting you on the spot. You're going down a hallway, a narrow hallway, and all of a sudden, you know, the weapon is pointing in the direction you're walking, but all of a sudden the bad thing is behind you. What are some techniques to turn around quickly? Do you have any little tricks of the trade?
Well, technically, the best, what I used and what we taught in our AR class is the same as to turn always in the safe direction, pointing the barrel for downways. But I saw some weird techniques on the internet, like they put the gun over their shoulder and turn, and like,
I've actually tried that, and I kind of like it a lot because it's just, it's a roll. It's a quick roll, and it's like that as compared to down here, when you're putting the muzzle to the floor. That works too, but I'm just saying, I've tried the other one, and it seems to work pretty good.
Everything works that you practice.
That's right.
I'm going to throw something in there. You got to practice, of course. You got to train, and you got to work out what is best for you. But by throwing that muzzle up in the air over your shoulder, now that weapon is exposed and vulnerable because you don't know how close that guy is behind you. Whereas if you bring it to the front, you elevate into a ready position, then you have that weapon covered and protected.
See, words of wisdom from an expert.
And if you just do that one pivot, then you can bring it straight up again. But everybody has their own technique. You know, some are better than others.
But some, if you break it down like you just did, you'll see on a pro and con sheet, there may be some good things about it, but then there's some negatives, and you got to decide on the scale what works best, you know?
And that's why Zoltan and I work so good together when we're on a range, because he has his techniques, I have my techniques. We come from different backgrounds, but yet we still kicked ass in Afghanistan. All right, I'm getting carried away. I'm getting carried away.
All right. Okay, so now, Ross, let me get you on here real quick, Ross, because we were talking about how does everybody's going to think it's a shotgun, and one of my questions was... The legalities of this shockwave shotgun, or not shotgun, but firearm. You see, I'm doing it too. It looks like a shotgun, but in all technicalities, this 590 shockwave is a firearm. So let's say I'm walking down the street and I've got my firearm and I don't need a pistol permit. It's like a rifle where I can just walk down the street, but some officer sees me and it's got a 14-inch barrel and he raises his eyebrow and says, hey, wait a minute now. That's not legal. Where's your tax stamp? How do you handle something like that?
Well, so I guess anybody listening can take solace in the fact that I wish I had more time to look at some of those ATF regs and the National Firearm Administration regs and things like that. So take solace in the fact that I may not know what I'm talking about. All right, so I know what the Texas law says, okay? And even you're making the mistake of keep over and over and over today calling it a shotgun. When that officer sees that in your car, I think your assistant hit it nail on the head when he said it's one of those situations. Let's assume that the manufacturing stuff's right, but, you know.
So but it falls in the technical language of it's a firearm, and being a firearm, everybody just needs to know, yes, it is a legal gun. I know a lot of people have this conception of, well, it's a short barrel rifle. Don't you need special paperwork for it? And the answer is no, because what was in the manufacturing process, they put
a shotgun with a barrel length of less than 18 inches.
But the Gun Safety Act.
But it's not a shotgun because.
That's right.
It's not manufactured the way that a shotgun would be manufactured.
With a stock on it. It's originally done with a pistol grip.
And so, or it's a rifle.
It's not a pistol because it doesn't have any rifling.
Or any weapon made from a shotgun or rifle. And so I think made from a shotgun, that may qualify, but... Right, with an overall length of less than 26 inches, and so
this is 26.3. That's right.
Hey guys, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm a simple guy. I'm an operator. I'm not a lawyer, but who are the morons who come up with this kind of stuff?
I don't know.
Do we actually elect and vote for these people to go to office so that they can come up with this, what do they call that? Where you're playing with words, semantics?
Well, the problem is 4 inches we're talking about, right?
Yeah,
it's all it's 4 inches on a gun that it. What's the big deal? But it causes so much havoc when it comes to tax stamps, legalities, and all that kind of stuff. That's why it's just important to know that somebody may look at it and not want to buy it because they think they can't, but it is totally legal. That was what's so nice about it. Lots of people want a short, compact firearm that shoots a 12-gauge out of it without having to go through NFA rules, regulations, and pay tax stamps. Okay? All right, Trey, listen
up. Hey, just so y'all, please, if you do get the shotgun, I think it's a great home protection weapon for sure. If you're traveling with it, just make sure you put clothes on top and have it in a case. And then, you know, if the officer's asking if you have firearms in your car, and I know you got to tell them about your, you know, your license to carry, just try not to mention that one.
All right, Trey, if you listen, we're going to take a long break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some more things here. We got some people coming in here. We want to check it out, talk to them, see what's going on. And when we come back, we'll just finish up on a whole bunch of random stuff. So we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back, everybody. We're finishing up the show now. It's May 20th, 2017. And we were talking about the firearm, the Shockwave 590 12-gauge gun there. Excellent gun, awesome gun. And I've got at aaronsgunshop.com, if you go to the High Cap Adventure page, we have a whole bunch of different seminars. And Mark Bourne, Zoltan Varga, they've got a combat shotgun course. If you look at the flyer on the High Cap Adventure page, basically goes over sight options and accessories, ballistics, types of shotguns, your familiarization with it, transitioning from a shotgun to a pistol, shooting on the move, shotgun modifications, reloads, malfunctions, how to handle it. And we've also got a bunch of other ones too. We've got a ladies only seminar, which is home and self-defense training seminar, and that one goes over mindset and philosophy, gun safety and handling, reloads, point shooting, handgun round robins, room clearing, student scenarios, live fire shooting drills, special equipment, nice to have types of things. We've also got seminars for ARs. We have seminars for all types of semi-auto rifles above and beyond the AR. Could be AK, SKS, M1A, Grands, Carbines, so on and so forth. So we've got all different types of seminars set up for pretty much different types of scenarios that you may have. So you need to go to aaronsgunshop.com, check out the High Cap Adventure page, and check out what they have to offer there. And if you give it a group of five or more, we'll get a class set up for you, and it'll be a lot of fun. It really will. We've also got a license to carry class on June 10th. That's going to be at 2 o'clock on a Saturday. And if you come in groups of five or more, the course fee drops 50%. It's normally $60 for a new class. It's $40 for any type of refresher course for somebody who already has a license. And if you come in a group of five or more, it's going to be $30 per person. Now, on June 3rd and 4th, we're going to be live at the Real Gun Show in Taylor. They've got a new venue there, and I'll post the location of it. Forget the name of the building and where it's located, but I'll post it up on the website and you can check it out. But we'd like to see you out there too. Have a whole bunch of different vendors probably, so it'd be really cool. Different market people. You know, it's kind of exciting, a new place. People are going to want to check it out, so it's going to be pretty busy. And we're going to be there both Saturday and Sunday. The live show will be on Saturday from 10 to 12. So a lot's going on there. The next round robin is the second Friday in the month of June. And haven't decided yet what the prize is going to be on that one, but it's going to be something good. And if you've never done a round robin, you need to go check it out. We've got shooters who were a little rough, and as they go through it and done it multiple times, they become excellent shooters. We had one just last time who started off, you know, somewhat rough. He's an okay shooter and has perfected himself and refined himself to a point where he now can win this competition. So there's a lot of good shooters out there competing, and you too can become a good shooter. Sure, Mark, go ahead. Put your headset on. Mark's coming on. What you got, buddy? Once he gets it on his head right.
Test one, two.
We're good.
Oh, that's great. Hey, I just wanted to throw out a challenge on your next competition.
Sure.
Because last night I was shooting right beside Zoltan, and he's punching the center out of bullseyes. And so I'm thinking, I am going to challenge anyone to come out there and embarrass him, okay? I want somebody to come out there and shoot better than Zoltan. I want somebody to finally take that trophy away from him, and I will toss in an extra $25 as part of the prize, okay?
Wow, okay. That sounds like an interesting challenge. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to knock down Zoli from the totem pole that he's on and get him down the bottom run.
I'm tired of that cockiness, man, especially in Hungarian. It's intolerable. All right.
Zoli's right here looking at us, everybody. He's whatever.
And again, this shotgun.
It's not a shotgun. It's a firearm.
It's a firearm. Exactly. But some of these people at home that do have those hunting shotguns that are very large, very, very big, you know, this is perfect for anyone, any female of any size. This is just the perfect shotgun for the house.
And ladies and gentlemen, you need to call up ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. You got to get one of these. Look at the Facebook page on aaronsgunshop.com, the Facebook page. It's sexy as heck. Y'all want one. It's totally legal. And you can get it without a problem. Just call ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Tell them you want it. Put a down on it, whatever. They'll order it. Take a little time to get in, but you'll finally get one.
But I got to throw in there. Folks, if you're looking for a Ruger Mark IV, I just bought the last one. They've got so much variety and so many accessories here for your weapons that this is one of the best shops I've been in Texas so far. And the atmosphere is fantastic. So come on down.
Don't you love the floor? I mean, the old antique floor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting handed a note here. The Real Gun Show on June 3rd and 4th will be at the Williamson County Expo in Taylor. That'll be the Williamson County Expo, June 3rd and 4th in Taylor. The Real Gun Show will be there. Hope that you come on out, check it out, see what's going on. And there'll be lots of guns there, too. But there's a gun show every day here at ANC Firearms. I need you to come on out. We're doing a live remote here right now. And at 12 o'clock, right after the show, we're going to be doing the gun familiarization class. So if you've got a gun that you're not familiar with, or you're thinking about getting one, you're not sure which kind to get, there's plenty to put your hands on over here. I can guide you and help you. We've got this special card that I've developed that helps you narrow down exactly what you need. I'll tell you what, why don't you hand me one of those cards right there, and I'll read to you what it is. When you're looking for a gun, whatever type of gun it is, there's a lot of questions. People say, well, which one's the best for me? I say, well, I don't know. Let me ask you some questions. And when you give the answers, that'll be the answer to the kind of gun that you want. First of all, how much you want to spend? What's your price cap? Do you have a caliber preference? Are you clueless to caliber, or do you know which caliber you want? You write that down. Do you want a pistol or a revolver? And the difference between the two, in case you're not familiar with it, a revolver is a wheel gun. A pistol is an automatic pistol or anything that's not a wheel gun. Then do you want it for a home, personal, or both? And that's an important question, because if it's strictly for the home, I would get the biggest gun I could handle when it comes to a handgun, because you could attach a flashlight to it, you could have high capacity, all those things. Now, if it's for totally concealment, and that's it, you might want to consider a gun that's small enough but big enough for you to control and handle and hide on your person somewhere. If it's going to be a combination of the two, then you're going to probably want a mid-sized gun so that you can still add a flashlight on there if you want to. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I say this all the time. With today's technology and products available, if you're going to go buy a gun, make sure it's got a light rail on it, unless it's a gun specifically meant not to have a light on it. But if you're going to have a gun in general purposes, nowadays, with the capabilities they have with electronics, you need to have the ability to put a light on it. Having a flashlight in one hand and a gun in the other, those days are gone. You need to have it on the gun so you have the other hand free to do what you need to do. The next question would be, what kind of action type do you want? Do you want a single action only, single action self-cocker? What do you want? And a lot of that comes into play to the size of your hand, length of your fingers, preferences to safeties, so on and so forth. We have to look at the size of your palm. Is it a small, medium, or large? If you have a small palm, you might not be able to work with a double-stacked gun. You might have to get a single-stacked gun that's a little thinner. What's the length of your fingers? Do you have long fingers where you could pull a long double-action trigger like on a revolver? Or do you have short fingers where you might want a single-action trigger like a 1911 where it's minimal movement on the trigger? Then sights. There's so many different types of sights. You've got three-dot sights. You've got a dot in a box sight, you've got a dot on an eye sight, you got dot over dots. I mean, there's so many different things. So when you're looking at the guns and you're looking at the sights, you can pick out and say, ooh, I like that. I can lock into my target real easy with this type of sight. So that comes into play here. Safeties. Do you want a safety, a decocker safety, no safeties? For example, a revolver, you pick up the gun, pull the trigger. There are no safeties. The safeties on the revolver is your finger off the trigger, and the extra hard trigger pull on the revolver is like helps to reduce the accidental risk of a trigger being pulled. It's not a safety, but being hard as it is, that it makes it a little bit more difficult for it to accidentally discharge. Do you want a laser or a light or both on it? That's why I'm saying you need to have a light rail on the gun. Because if you're at home at night and the lights go out and the power is out and you're reaching for your gun, well, there's that flashlight too. And let me talk to you about lasers. If you don't practice with a laser, you got no right keeping the laser on the gun. Lasers will screw you up.
If you don't know what you're doing with a laser, you will track the laser. You'll try to beat the laser. Your shots will be low. They'll be all over the place. And I get this argument all the time. Well, you know, if I'm injured, so what? If you're injured and you still don't know what you're doing with a laser, you're going to be injured with terrible shots. So you have to understand the concept of a laser, what its applications are for, how to utilize it, and practice. And if you do that, then a laser is an excellent thing to have on your weapon. However, you got to practice, okay? Practice, practice, practice. And the bonus one is your attitude. What's your attitude towards this gun? Are you buying it and you say you bought it and now you're safe? Or are you buying it because this gun fits me? I like it. It's dependable. It's going to work for what I have intended it for. I've practiced and I've become proficient with it. So there's a lot of things. And when you answer all those questions, you're going to find the gun that's perfect for you. There's so many guns out there. There's a gun that is perfect for you in size, shape, and use, and in price range. So come on out to ANC Firearms. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them you want to put on hold a 590 Mossberg Shockwave. Come on in here and buy a Mark IV, buy a North American Arms mini revolver, buy a Kel-Tec 22 PF, what the heck is that called? I lost track. 22 Magnum pistol. They got all sorts of stuff over here. Vaqueros, 1911s, you name it. They got ammo, mags, rifles, shotguns. Come on out to Heidenhammer ANC Firearms. Give them a call, 254-983-4417. All right. Trey, we're going to end it up. Let's take it out with a song. Ladies and gentlemen, until next week, make sure to keep your powder dry, and God bless.